Good morning. It's Thursday, the 15th of October, 2015. And it's 8:46 on my car clock. There's been a lovely dawn in Cork. Lovely soft light streaming in across the landscape, reflecting off the water. I've dropped my daughter to school at about 8:30. And I had a couple of minutes after she left, just gathering myself, sending one or two Twitter messages. And I've driven back through the centre of Cork City, or I am driving back through the centre of Cork City, crossing one of the many bridges over the River Lee right now. I'm on an island now. And I'm back on a bridge now. So that'll give you an idea of how narrow the island in Cork is. I always think of Cork with its island as having something in common with Paris, in the sense that the Île de la Cité in Paris has got quite a few bridges off it. Now I'm negotiating a little traffic, and I was listening to Ian Catt from Brisbane in Australia. I was listening to him a minute ago talking about how listening to people on audio podcasts and here on Audioboo gives him company, but it doesn't give him the beautiful flow of conversation. And he dropped a little phrase into his audio, how good it is to discuss a topic with other people. And I thought, maybe I'll do a topic-less audio, where I don't know what I'm going to say next until after I've said it, where I have no agenda, where I'm just really, I suppose, being a sort of company for goodness knows who. No idea what the effect of making a piece of audio of this particular podcast. No idea what effect it'll have on other people. And you know, that reminds me of a wonderful word. Or a word that I think is wonderful, called incalculable. You can't calculate the effect you're going to have on another person by virtue of what you say to them, how you treat them. If, for example, you were to, at some stage today, be kind to another person, just go out of your way to do something for them which was completely unasked for, and you didn't expect anything at all in return. So it was a pure kindness. You would say to yourself quite reasonably, well, that's will have a good effect on the other person. Probably will. But the effect it'll have will be incalculable. Because you'll influence them, let's say, and then they'll influence somebody else. And those people will then influence somebody else. And you can quickly see that the number of permutations and the number of possibilities gets rapidly impossible to research, find out, and know. So things go on behind our back all the time, and I'm driving into the sun now, which is casting long shadows along the bank of the river. I'm driving along behind a bus which says one life, one shot, make it count. Oh my goodness. Nor regrets. No regrets. Hashtag no regrets. Well, I must say I'm not too sure about one shot. I mean, that's a bit like a sniper. One life, one shot, make it count. It reminds me of, what was it called? The one sniper who was out to assassinate President de Gaulle turned it into a great film. This very, very professional sniper. One of those, I think it was kind of called French Connection. Anyway, where was I? I was on the road driving back to my house. And when I get back to my house, I pick up my niece, who came over last night to babysit. Strange thing to do, to call my daughter a baby. She's 10 years old now. So I always have a little bit of awkwardness about saying that somebody's coming to babysit for her. But anyway, somebody came to sit for her. A sitter. My niece. Very nice girl. Studying art at Crawford Art College in Cork. And she came and stayed the night. And last night I went out to a meeting of an organization called Toastmasters. And I participated in a contest, which Toastmasters called the Humorous Speech Contest. I think the most humorous part of my speech, and I'm no good at humorous speech. The others who were in the contest, there were three others in the contest, they were all, I thought, much better than me. But I did come up with a title for my speech, which was called Making Love to My Mother-in-Law, and that rather tickled my fancy. Although when I think about it, because I know my mother-in-law, so making love to my mother-in-law has a certain frissons attached to it. And other people, when they hear it, might be a bit perplexed and wouldn't know where the conversation is going to go. But it was very enjoyable to participate, to put myself into a situation which wasn't easy. I mean, if you gave me a list of 10 types of speeches that you could be called upon to make in your life, my number 10 would be a humorous speech. You know, be funny. I get very self-conscious and fall back on sincerity. Well, I don't fall back on sincerity. I think sincerity is my biggest strength as a speaker. So I think if I'm to speak on any topic, I should speak out of what is my strength. Just as I think everybody should, you know, be aware of what their strengths are, if you can, and work out of those when you're in situations where you're not deliberately practicing your weaknesses. Last night I was deliberately practicing my weaknesses, and it was really good to do because I didn't fall flat on my face. I did feel nervous. I did get a little bit of a dry throat. And overall, I felt very good out there in the middle of a floor in a hotel room in Middleton. Now, if you could only see the trees along the side of this road. I'm very, very fortunate to have chosen to live here. There's a river, and it's tidal, and it's full, really full. The river comes up so that it almost touches the trees that are overhanging the bank. And I'm on a big arc of a circle, which is also lovely now, because straight lines are, in comparison with arcs, are not as interesting to me. But the trees are changing now. There's a kind of forest over there of deciduous trees. And they're starting to go yellow at a different rate, really. You can see how some of the trees turn earlier than others. Like horse chestnut trees, they're changing early. Beech trees changing early. Oak trees changing a bit later. I must say it's lovely. And I'm nearly home now, and I'm about to pass something that you might think is very weird, or some of you might think is very holy. There's a little grotto. That's a, well, I guess I'll assume everybody knows what a grotto is. And outside it, there's a sign saying, I am the Immaculate Conception. And there's a statue of, which for Roman Catholics is the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it's very unusual in the sense that it's big. It looks a little like Lourdes looks like. And people come from time to time and they kneel down in front of this grotto and then they march, well, marches maybe, they walk along the pavement back through Glenmire carrying one or two banners and I think reciting prayers as they walk. A little further on, there's a group of three houses. Three houses are cottages, small one-story, well, actually, there might be two-story cottages. One of them certainly is. And they're all workhouse cottages. Go back a very long time. I think they've been kind of derelict. They have roofs on them, but they've been empty and not used for years. I think it's a terrible shame. So anyway, the sky has got light. It's blue, it's got speckled grey and orange. And there's bunting up here, crossing the road from one lamppost to the other. Bunting with the colours of the local hurling club here in Glenmire, which is called, known as SARS, Sarsfield Rugby Club. And I'm going to, as I say many times, love you and leave you, and have a lovely day. And I want to go back and thank Jana again, who sort of disrupted my habit of posting only poetry and, well, almost only poetry over the recent times. And Jana has had an incalculable influence on me, because she couldn't possibly have realized that just her talking about her daily life could lead me to think, well, I should change what I'm doing and do a bit of daily life talk. Okay, look, thank you very much for listening. It's Paul O'Mahony saying cheerio for now. Bye-bye.